This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Petrovic flips the puck toward his own bench and goes over to console Casey DeSmith. The Edmonton Oilers pour onto the ice. They are the Western Conference champions for the second year in a row. It's Edmonton and Florida in the Stanley Cup Final.
And Jake Reedman just telling us in the commercial, Gary Bettman was also in attendance to see the end of the Dallas Stars season. The call from Edmonton Radio, Good Morning Metroplex, 6-3, series over in 5. Take us inside the building, Jake.
Let's talk hockey.
Oh, boy, which part? It's hard. I said I don't do sad. I don't do bad news. I don't do any of that. And
even after your parents.
Yeah,
both of them.
Wow. I didn't know how we were going to start this morning. And how about a fastball high and tight? I love it. No, that's precisely how it was. I mean, man, the way that game started, the quick hook. I mean, you blinked in and it was a punch to the face. There's no other way to explain it.
What did you think of Ottinger being pulled? Talk to us about how often this happens with goaltenders. How often goaltenders can come back from this, whether it leads to a divorce with the head coach with the bitter feelings, because your boy Ray Ferraro, who you were almost able to get on the show, he defended it, and Sean McDonough was not having it upstairs in the booth.
Yeah, it's because pulling the goalie is not foreign. Obviously, that happens, and to spark the team, and that's, I understand all of that, but that quickly, with that much of a knee-jerk reaction, is what it felt like to me. Because,
but it was 2-0.
It was 2-0 after two shots.
But 4-0.
Think of how much time is left in that game, and think of what gives you the best chance to win. Is it Casey DeSmith between the pipes, who hasn't played in dang near a month, or is it the guy that got you there?
Yeah,
and you can't.
See, I don't look at it like that in a vacuum. I look at it as what gives us the best chance to win. A better individual goaltender in Jake, but a flat team versus a drop-off, but maybe a team who gets lifted.
Very, very fair, very fair. And I call the timeout, shake some face masks, wake him up. But is Jake Ottinger the one that took a penalty 2 minutes into the game? Is Jake Ottinger out of position defensively in the penalty kill? Cody Ceci, who I'm not pointing him out and calling him out as an individual because he's the reason they lost the game. He was a reason that Edmonton scored that first goal on the power play. So there's multiple factors at play here, and to single out the guy that got you there and pull him in a public way like that, which, again, there's no other way to pull a goalie early like that. That's going to be the talking point. But at the same time, that sends such a loud and clear message. And I heard you guys talking about the post-game comments, because I'm dialed into the post-game. I was so curious. What's the rationale? What's the explanation going to be? And I forget who said it. It might have been you, Bobby, that said, you know, he could have said, we need a spark. Okay, there it is. We need a spark. But the double down, deep dive into, he's lost 6 of the last 7. And some of them factual, but it was very much a, this is why I did this. I am not backing down one bit. And in the heat of the moment, I'm thinking, oh boy, the fork in the road between DeBoer and Ottinger's getting, that gap's getting larger and larger in the midst of that postgame presser. That was my thought.
How often does this happen? I mean, goaltenders get pulled. Can you think of instances where there was no going back?
Yeah. Patrick Waugh comes to mind, because obviously he's a Hall of Famer and has gone on to coach in the league. And he was in a Game 7 for the Colorado Avalanche against the Detroit Red Wings in 2002. And he got absolutely boat raced in the opening period and gets pulled. And that was the end of it in Colorado. So that's the one that comes to mind. And obviously, legendary career for him.
They've all been pulled.
Right. That's, and I think you even said that, Choppy.
Then
that,
why are we talking about divorce? Why are we being that dramatic with it?
Because in the heat of an elimination game, which, again, two shots into the game, I think that's so important because it wasn't like, use that same example, when Patrick Waugh was pulled in that first period in a Game 7 situation in the conference finals, it was after four or five goals. It was enough of a sample size where he doesn't have it tonight. And to make that declaration that Ottinger didn't have it after two shots?
But, Jake, was he making the declaration on – break up the pie of Jake isn't good enough tonight versus – that's the move for a team spark.
That's
when you pull a goalie, it's not always just because the goalie doesn't have it. It's also to light a fire under the team.
Right.
Which did.
And that's why I think we're saying the same thing here, because that's where, if that's the rationale, sure. But I didn't feel like the explanation post-game met that rationale. I felt the explanation post-game was more personal, was, we can't win with this guy. I heard somebody use the term, he's a three-round fighter. He can go three rounds, but he doesn't have whatever it is to get you over the hump. And you could say the same thing about Pete DeBoer. I mean, look at his resume. He's a three-round coach in the playoffs. He gets to the conference finals, but he can't get over that hump. And is it because of Jake Ottinger? Are there other factors? But my biggest takeaway, and I think we are saying the same thing here, is the rationale, the explanation post game did not meet the, hey, we just needed a spark. Because I get that you can't pull Cody Ceci, you can't pull Maverick Bork. Those are two guys that made really costly mistakes early.
Jake Rietma in studio. He was at the AAC last night. No, there's no hypeness. You can't be this excited this morning.
I'm not excited. I'm just a lot of things, man. It's the last Stars recap. I'm emotional.
And your morning show time's about to end.
I'm going to miss you guys, man. I'm going to miss you guys. Dallas Stars.
Cocaine is a hell of a drug. All right, so we're doing some research on here to the goaltenders. So we found out Belichick hates quarterbacks, right? We learned that through a lot of these different documentaries. He's super hard on Brady and other quarterbacks. So we've been looking up some stuff, Jake. Pete DeBoer has an awful relationship history with goalies, apparently. Marc-Andre Fleury, he apparently drove him off in Vegas. Logan Thompson said he felt like he was left off the Four Nations because of his cold relationship with Pete DeBoer. Even the guy that he liked a lot, Robin Leonard, when he got shut down for the season a couple years ago, Pete DeBoer said, and I quote, the announcement speaks for itself. I'm concerned about the guys that are here battling with us here tonight. And there's all these responses in the news story of going like, death taxes and Pete DeBoer being a D to his own goaltender. So is there just some sort of issue that Pete DeBoer has with his goaltenders?
I think there's a lot of stock to put into that because of the history like you just outlined, which kudos to you. Excellent work there. And Marc-Andre Fleury was a guy that I thought of immediately, a guy who's had a decorated career and so much success everywhere he's been besides with Pete DeBoer. And you and maybe not even say no success, because depending on your perspective, okay, getting to the conference finals, you're one of the four teams left. There's an element of success there. But absolutely, I think there's this disdain and this where the rubber meets the road between Pete DeBoer and goalies, and it's such an important individual position in the sport. The quarterback comparison is really the only thing that you can think of, and as far as making an analogy to another sport, because you're just reliant upon one player to do such a specific task in a different skill set that is different than every other player on the ice.
Goalies, pitchers, kickers. They're the weird people. They're weird. Like, look at how weird Hellebuck is. You want to smack him.
Andre just needs to do more eye exercises.
They're just all a little goofy.
Do you think Pete DeBoer is in trouble?
Yes. Trouble might be the wrong way to put it. I think it's going to be a compelling offseason for a lot of reasons. Put the coach at the top of the list, that dynamic with him and Jake Ottinger. Because Jake Ottinger's, he's not going anywhere. 8-year extension this year. Let's not forget about that. 2033, Jake Ottinger's your goalie. You say, I think he's one of the best goalies in the world.
No, I'm not saying over that. It's just like, that's a factor.
Right.
I'm looking more at five games and out, and it should have been a sweep over him and Ottinger. You know,
look at the whole playoffs too.
Yeah, there's
he wasn't. I mean, he wasn't great in this postseason.
You talking about Jake?
Yeah, I mean, he had moments where he was. Been,
he was good at home though.
And okay, that was okay, a pretty great. Quick, but like well, so that.
Well, I mean, you're at home last night. No, but I'm saying you're at home last night. That's a pretty quick hook for being at home when one of them's a power play goal and one of them's a defensive.
That's my point exactly. It was such a Otter's quick hook.
Better. Yes, Otter's better.
But no, it was such a quick hook where the game hadn't even developed. I mean,
but what
people
about
were still getting their popcorn, getting their seated.
But what about the board just losing in five? They got worked the way they did. He's got this stigma of not breaking through the conference finals. How do you look at that if you're Jim Nill?
Boy, it's the loyalty component of it is certainly the first thing that comes to mind because Jim,
and why do hockey coaches this crazy, insane turnover?
Oh, it's quick. It's quick.
Why?
It happens. I that's a great question. I mean, I wish I had the answer, but Mike Sullivan's an example who had all kinds of success with the Penguins. He's fired and hired with the Rangers quickly. Peter Laviolette also fired from his time with the Rangers. They set a franchise record for wins 2 years ago. I mean, it happens quick. John Tortorella.
Edmonton fired their goalie, fired their coach last year.
Yeah, yeah.
Like 30 games in. We've seen teams fire their coach a dozen or so games before the playoffs. They did in the NBA this year.
Yeah.
And those guys go on. Was it like Larry Robinson won the cup 1 year? Like they just out of nowhere, they just fired their coach. No, okay, this guy.
Right, and so much of it is the if you're getting the best out of the guys in that dressing room, and some of that is reflective upon the players. I know I was critical of Jamie Benn and his leadership, and he's a guy that you know I talked about those off-season questions. That's at the top of the list. People are asked. He's an unrestricted free agent now, and did he play his last game in a Stars uniform? So there's the DeBoer component of it all. There's a lot of big names that are unrestricted free agents, and the NHL being a salary cap league. Now, the salary cap is going up $7.5 million, so teams will have more to spend. But that being said, there is a long list. Jamie Benn, Matt Duchene, Evgeny Dodona.
Where was Duchene? Didn't he lead them in points this season?
Yeah, that's another point. The depth scoring for the Stars absolutely disappeared in this series against Edmonton. You give them a little bit of credit, but Edmonton's depth scoring showed up. The Stars did not. Edmonton's goaltending showed up. The Stars left some to be desired.
Jake Rima in studio, back from the AAC here on 105 through the Fan. What else is on the offseason list? What is this team missing?
I think loading up defensively. You saw, I used Cody Ceci as an example, and that was an in-season acquisition from San Jose, and he's an unrestricted free agent. I think you ask a lot of Stars faithful, he might have played his last game in a Stars uniform, kind of a short-term experiment that unfortunately didn't work out. And obviously when you load up with the contract with Mikko, I mean, it limits some of your options, but there's some really good free agents that are on the market. A lot of them forwards, but there are some defensemen out there as well. And so it's one of those interesting off seasons where you got your guys. Jamie Benn, that's your guy. He's a captain. You got a lot of these guys that have proven themselves with Dallas, but has father time caught up to guys like Tyler Seguin. I mean, that's Evgeny Dodonov. These are guys in their mid-30s. So it's only Jim Nill can answer that question.
Spittle texted, this happened with DeBoer in Vegas with Marc-Andre Fleury. Caused tension, and DeBoer was let go eventually. What else you got in your notes?
The Mikko stuff is interesting because I think you got to give him a salute. 80 career playoff assists after last night. He's the third fastest in NHL history to 80 playoff assists. Only two faster, Connor McDavid and Leon Draisaitl.
Oh.
Now, this is really interesting, the breakdown of it all, though. 17 of his 22 playoff points, five-game period. So 17 points in five games in these playoffs, and then just 5 points in the other 13 games. So just the discrepancy of it all. I mean, make heads or tails of it other than it's worth noting there. How about some good news, though? Can we get to some good news? Come on.
Please.
We got to get to some good news. NHL Commissioner Gary Bettman in the building last night, all but pretty much guaranteed that Dallas is going to have some sort of marquee event. And he didn't limit it to an outdoor event. So that's got the wheels turning. Could it be bigger than the Cotton Bowl was the question that he was asked. And he left some curiosity to build with that. So I think
stadium series action.
Yeah, yeah. I think there could be something coming quickly. AT&T. Yeah, sooner rather than later. Which again, good news. I only do positivity in the morning.
Great stuff, brother. Enjoyed having you throughout the entire playoff.
Gonna miss you guys, man.
I know. Bring us another charcuterie board. We'll put you back on again. Jake Rietma, give him a follow, and he'll be popping in all the time here as part of the morning show on DFW Sports Station. And of course, you hear him on the weekends on 105.3 The Fan. We have a little baby ticket giveaway, and how is the running back room shaping up? What's happening at corner? And is Brian Schottenheimer's energy going to be a copyright issue? Our Cowboys insider Bobby Belt has it all for you inside the Star during the commercial-free expressway. Next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We are your home of the Dallas Cowboys and the Texas Rangers. Thanks for being a Tolo. That stands for Turn It On, Leave It On. Happy Friday, y'all. It's Sean Sharif, RJ Choppy, with our Cowboys insider Bobby Belt, who was at practice yesterday in Frisco. What's up?
Now you mentioned Rangers. I just realized what an awful night it was because Stars lost, the Knicks won, and there was no baseball.
Well, it was a good thing there's no baseball. Well, you want to be triple depressed?
It was that's the thing. There was only about two fewer hits last night than a normal night.
That's right.
By the way, it's been 13 games since the Texas Rangers outscored what the Edmonton Oilers put up last night.
God. That's not cool, guys.
Say that again?
It's been 13 games since the Texas Rangers last outscored what the Edmonton Oilers put up last night. Texas hasn't scored 6 runs or more in 13 games.
Wow. All right, we're commercial-free with the Expressway and... our final little, no, it's not our final. We have two of them this morning. Yeah. Little baby ticket giveaway this hour. We'll also do one in the 9 o'clock. Bobby, back out to practice.
Yeah, let's talk about the running back position because I know that's something that still is top of mind for a lot of people. Actually, the two positions that are top of mind for folks right now, running back and cornerback. They go out there yesterday, first team group, it's alternating. It's Javonte Williams and Miles Sanders. There was no work for that I saw for Deuce Vaughn and for Jaden Blue with the first team. But I actually thought Miles Sanders looked, again, it's hard to judge running backs in this sort of a setting. Miles Sanders looked like he had a little bit of juice. Like, that's the one thing you can usually tell from the running backs. It's like, all right, how explosive do maybe they seem? How quickly do they get to the edge? Do they see like they've got a little bit of juice? I remember that was the first thing that stood out at Rico Dowdle's practice in rookie minicamp. Was you watched him run, and even though it wasn't contact, you could see like, oh, he's got some wiggle, and he's got a little bit of like spark to him. And I got that feeling yesterday with Miles Sanders a little bit. Javonte Williams, impressive yesterday, I thought, especially in terms of just watching him as a pass catcher. As a pass catcher, he was really good in Denver. He was averaging about 50 catches a year, and we've heard Schottenheimer talk about that. I think that was the first thing we heard from him when we were in Indy at his press conference, was he was talking about running back traits that he likes, and I think really quickly, he was like, I want somebody who can catch the ball. And that's something that Javonte Williams can do. So I think...
I saw a lot of positive running back stuff. Nick Harris saying what you did. Miles flashed multiple times today, had 2 completions on a screen and a swing, bouncing inside, run out for a good game, has a spring in his step, fluid runner, and worked first team alongside Javonte.
Yeah, if you took all their... if you just took the numbers off their jerseys and you ran the 4 of them out there and I was just watching practice yesterday... I would have zeroed in on, I would have just blindly picked Miles Sanders and been like, that's the best running back here. And so I think that I think a lot of people felt like Javonte Williams had the edge to be the primary starter with Jaden Blue getting a lot of reps and things like that. But we might be sleeping a little bit on Miles Sanders. He is just a couple years removed from being a really good player in Philadelphia and ending up in Carolina and struggling. It does make me wonder a little bit, is that just Carolina? Like, are there some guys who they get to Carolina and they struggle? I had that brought up to me as a discussion point with Bryce Young. Remember when I asked around the league about Bryce Young, why he was struggling? And I was told, well, look at what Carolina's done to some players before. They messed up Baker Mayfield. Baker flourished when he left. Sam Darnold finally turned things around after he got out of two toxic situations in the Jets and the Panthers. And so it does make me wonder, did Miles Sanders just go somewhere that is difficult to have success with David Tepper being a crazy person above you? But in general,
what did Tepper do recently, Choppy? What did he do as of late?
He continued to be a loser. But the PGA Championship was at Quail Hollow. And he lives in Charlotte. He lives on the course. And they posted on their social media, so after Scotty won, that Scotty has more PGA Tour and major championships since 2022 than the Panthers have wins. And Tepper complained. He complained about this to Quail Hollow, which is, again, his course where he lives, and they took it down.
Such small Panther energy.
Yes. Yes, this is the most insecure loser on the planet.
He's
You're
way
a billionaire.
Up there.
You're one of the richest, literally one of the richest men in all sports. All of sports.
Did he go to an SEC school? He must have. let me look that up. Siri, did David Tepper go to an SEC school? The cornerback position. We're getting, when they're in base defense, which is four down linemen, three linebackers, two safeties, two corners. When they're in base, you've got Deron Bland outside on one spot, and then it's this rotation with the ones between Kyer Elam and then Andrew Booth, who we had talked about yesterday. They obviously don't have Kalen Carson healthy right now. They don't have Trayvon Diggs healthy right now. I think right now they're cycling, saying, all right, who's going to take the majority of these reps until we get healthy? I think Kyer Elam's looked better than Andrew Booth personally, but
yeah, Ray Charles could see that, Bob.
Yeah. But Kyer Elam, I thought, was solid yesterday. And when they go into nickel, then it's Booth and it's Elam on the outside, and then Bland continues to move inside at nickel. So they're still having Deron Bland take the nickel snaps right now inside against the slot whenever they go to three corners. And that's something that, like we've talked about, he's not a big fan of, or he doesn't want to remain there. He wants to be on the outside, but he continues to do the work there. And then
he went to Pitt, by the way.
Pitt. Okay. All right. Well, close enough. The energy out at practice, again, continues to be really intense. Now, I want to be clear about something. This does not equal up to anything in terms of good or bad to me.
I know. Clarence Hill tells me every day none of this stuff matters.
Well, no,
on Twitter.
But I'm just saying, like, if they're out there, like,
has to be so negative about it.
If they're bouncing around there having fun, like, I think there are teams that win Super Bowls having fun and cutting up at practice. I think there are teams that win Super Bowls that are, like, rigid, militaristic right. at practice.
We've seen this. Like, the amount of Cowboy fans who will say, they need to stop training in those calm temperatures in Oxnard and get into the Texas heat, you know, like those really tough New England teams that won like seven Super Bowls in 15 years, just the brutal New England summers they were training in. But I mean, you can't even walk outside.
I was wondering, I was like, all right, was I just having some sort of sensitivity to how loud the music was last week? Or was maybe the switch turned up a little bit too much? No, it was, these are louder practices than the McCarthy ones. And I mean, they would play music at McCarthy. They'd play music during Garrett. This is booming, and I was standing there next to Kyle Yeomans at one point, and we were talking about it, and they do training camp live in Oxnard, which is, well, they're out there basically doing live play-by-play of these scrimmages and things like that, and Kyle's like, yeah, we're already having a game plan for how we're going to reduce the music on the YouTube side because so we don't get a copyright notice. So he's like, we're already having to figure out, like, mic situation and different things like that because the music is so much louder right now in the Brian Schottenheimer era, which they're all excited. They're all chirping at each other the whole time. The coaches are talking a ton more. And I think that's a function of you're getting some college coaches here who that feels like more of probably the practice energy at colleges, but you're hearing a lot of the coaches talk throughout practice and get hyped up, and you're seeing a lot of intensity from the players, and you're seeing a lot of competitiveness from the players. It is an intense atmosphere.
And here's Brian Schottenheimer just talking about that atmosphere that he's starting to try to build with the takeover.
Very easy. I want to be the greatest culture in professional sports, and that's saying a lot. I get that. But, it's no different than sitting up here and talking about winning Super Bowls. You know, I mean, there's a standard. The standard is we want to be the best. And will we be the best culture? I don't know. We're going to try. And will we make mistakes along the way? Absolutely. We'll make mistakes. And then we'll fix things. And But you guys asked me a couple weeks ago about GP coming in here. Like, how does he fit the culture? Well, the culture's more than just one person, you know? And so the big thing that goes into culture too, I think, is being authentic. You know, I will always be authentic. I'm never going to stand up here and pretend to be something I'm not. I think that that's a recipe for disaster in this business. I've seen it. I've seen it fail. I think I shared with you, my dad said, hey, if you ever get a shot to be a head coach, one thing you should never do is change. Be yourself. And so the culture that we're building here is something that I truly believe in, and that most of these players that we have, they believe in it, or if they don't believe in it yet, hopefully them seeing my conviction makes them buy in.
It's been about 12 years since I've seen glowing press conference daily reviews from a coach. How long do we have, Jay Jeezy?
Well, Jason was there almost 10 seasons.
Yeah. So it was really 10 with us?
My mind is going. It was 8.5.
He was there 11 through 19 with you.
So been about 14 years since I've seen tweets saying, oh my gosh, I'm looking forward to a press conference. Now, let me say this to all the pessimists and the miserable people rolling their eyes over the C word. And I'm getting tired of hearing the C word myself. We need to come up with something else. My answer to all of these little nuggets is going to be, can it hurt? That's going to be my reply moving forward to every single one. Can it hurt? No. There's a chance that it can help. When you throw enough of those into a basket, that will usually result in a good thing. If George Pickens doing push-ups with CeeDee Lamb going to lead to a win? I don't know, but can it hurt? The answer is no. Can CeeDee Lamb celebrating a Pickens catch lead to a win? I don't know. But can it hurt? The answer is no. A ping pong table, can it hurt? The answer is no. It's like the dating game, planting enough seeds, right? Eventually, one is gonna sprout, or two or three, depending on if you're allowed to swing like that. But when you have enough of these things that can only possibly be positives and not be negatives, to me, that will grow something somewhere along the line.
We've talked about it since the hire was made. He is going to, by the time September rolls around, and it's pretty much already there, I feel like, right now, fans are going to be super optimistic about him and love him. Now, as soon as they start playing games in September, if they're 1-3, it'll all change in a hurry, and people will hear these things, and they're going to roll their eyes at them. They're going to go, yeah, but what has that led up to? It doesn't necessarily equal up to that. But when you're talking about, I felt like last year we had a lot of players, you had mentioned this, the revisionist history on if they wanted Dan Quinn back or not. You've got Dan Quinn back in a way, I think. Like, that's what, that's the type of tone.
Let's hope
you have
something better than Dan.
That's the, NFC Conference, title game appearance is rough.
You got a backwards hat.
But in general, I think that if you.
And Brian Schottenheimer will tell you that Dan Quinn had a tremendous impact on his career and changing his mindset and kind of reinvigorating him. He will tell you that.
Yeah, and I think that it's clear that's the same type of tone he's trying to set with players. And I do think when we talk about what was missing last year, that was missing. The Dan Quinn energy was kind of missing from the team last year. And I think that if Schottenheimer's able to instill that all across the board, and it's stood out to me how much Schottenheimer moves around the entire practice, like he really is invested in both sides of the ball, or at least invested in the people on both sides of the ball, not necessarily the X's and O's. I think that, like you said, that can't hurt. It can only possibly help.
For the 972, Detroit is the case study on culture. That's a totally different one. That's not like this feels like a culture of like good vibes, fun, whatever. That's more of a nasty, you know, us against the world kind of culture that Campbell's got there.
But it still
doesn't feel like the same.
I think we look at him and we think that it's like they're all on Harleys driving to practice. Like,
I mean,
Dan Campbell, he seems fun.
Yeah,
he seems fun too.
Yeah. He'll you know, serve you at Applebee's. He's a good time. Yeah. I think that at the end of the day, it's just different ways to get to the point of like, do we feel like a family? Are we all for what? Like that's ultimately what they're trying to do. Is it the same tone necessarily, Schottenheimer and Campbell? No, but it's the same end game that they're looking for, which is we want everybody to feel tight and like basically love each other like a family.
Dan Campbell would never put lemons in his vodka. You know,
that's probably true.
It'd be probably straight up. Or what do you think Dan Campbell drinks? What's a Dan Campbell alcoholic drink?
Dan is he is straight whiskey.
Whiskey.
Oh yeah. No, yeah. I don't even think. I think he would shun the ice cube. He would shun the ice cube.
Yes.
You don't think he's a beer guy? I don't know. I always thought beer more than straight.
Maybe beer.
Straight
okay. Yeah. I was just thinking like hard liquor.
Well, you got to crush the can on his head.
Yeah.
Inside the Star with our insider Bobby Belt out there yesterday, Ford Center at the Star in Frisco during the commercial free expressway. Little baby tickets are coming up, and then the junk drawer.
I thought a big thing yesterday that was really impressive from Brian Schottenheimer. I felt like out of all the press conferences he's given, this is the most maybe philosophical in terms of X's and O's and strategy relating to positions that he's gotten. And I thought the best stuff that he covered was the quarterback receiver connection. And this will be cut 13, Peyton. John Machado had asked him, you know, with George Pickens coming out here and trying to develop chemistry with Dak Prescott and trying to click and get on the same page, he asked him, is the quarterback wide receiver chemistry just a matter of a number of reps that you have to hit until it clicks?
No, it's more than that. It's the reps are important, but there's got to be conversation. You know, I simplify it, and probably going back to my years in New York, you know, there's a thing called the me to you factor. It's basically if you're a receiver and I'm a quarterback, you know, I need to have the ability where I trust you to be where you're supposed to be. So it's my job to throw you the ball. And if we're not on the same page, then you have to talk about it and have conversations and figure out why. And maybe I saw it this way and you saw it that way, but get on the same page the next time it happens. What are we going to do? Well, hey, I want it this
Stop.
Way. And so
what's going on? What is that? Is that him on the microphone?
So Brian is he's a table sitter and he's got the stand on the podium, and he's very big with, because he's a personable guy, he's big with the hand gestures. And as he's moving his hands, he's hitting to, and it causes it to rattle a little bit.
All right, got to talk to him about that.
Got to stand up. Stand up.
That and the visor. Let's continue.
What are we going to do? Well, hey, I want it this way. And so it's over time. And it's not just time on the field. It's not just extra reps. That's important. But it's time away from the field. It's time in the film room. It's time at dinner. I think you guys think all we do around here is eat, because all we do is we go to dinner and we have connection. But like, I think that's real.
And I think that one of the things, and there's a shorter clip here right after that where, this is 14 Peyton, Schottenheimer talks specifically about the idea of when you say trust, and I think a lot of times people hear coaches say trust and they think like, oh, trust me, be my brother. Schottenheimer got into a little bit some of the specifics as to why a quarterback has to place so much trust in his receiver being where he needs to be.
Remember, when quarterbacks are playing, they get glimpses of what's happening down the field. Like, they don't have a clear window like what I'm looking at right here. Like, there's big trees in front of them that they can't see. So you're really throwing to spots, and you're trusting people to be there. And that's where that me-to-you factor takes time to develop. And I think that's where we're in the process, and that's the best part of Phase 3 OTAs, is you can work on some of those things now and get ready to go, because when you get to training camp, then we got to be at full speed. We got to be ready to roll. And so you work through those kinks now.
This reminded me, when he told the story, it reminded me vividly of something Dak Prescott said at his locker 3-4 years ago, where he was talking about trust in receivers. And I think he was talking about it in the context of option routes, but he's talking about trust in receivers and their body language and knowing where they're going to be and stuff like that is so critical to him. And that's why, you remember a couple years ago, it was Dennis Houston, as an undrafted free agent, was active for game one, and Jalen Tolbert, the third-round rookie, was inactive. And it all came down to, we know Dennis Houston's going to be where he needs to be. We're not seeing a lot of George Pickens highlights. I don't think he was targeted once yesterday, because their big thing right now is George learning the steps and everything involved with the offense, the little intricacies to say, you're going to be where you need to be, so that Dak has the comfort to be able to throw it to that spot and know you're going to be there. And I think that Schottenheimer...
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Clearly, and Dak are both on the same page and understanding that's a big emphasis for us to operate at the highest level possible.
Inside the Star with a lot more to come from Bobby Roberto Belt, our Cowboys insider here on Sean and RJ. Let's hook you up right now for turning it on, leaving it on. That is what Tolo means.
All right, Tolos, that's right now. Call number 10 at 877-881-1053 wins a pair of tickets to see Lil Baby at the American Airlines Center in Dallas Thursday, June 5th. That's call number 10 at 877-881-1053.
Commercial free with the Expressway on DFW Sports Station. Thank y'all. We're going to hook you up with Lil Baby tickets again in the 9 o'clock hour. Right now, let's clean out the folder.
Did you know that Benjamin Franklin invented the junk drawer?
Junk it!
Choppy, when a girl is so hot, you say what?
I would drink her bathwater.
Now, as Peyton Russell texted us yesterday, you have the opportunity, which we'll get to here in just a second after Pepe gets our winner on the phone lines. It's the junk drawer where we clean things up on DFW Sports Station. Start us off, though, Ralph.
All right, I'll start you off with a different one. Let Peyton get in on this one.
Yeah, let Peyton get in trouble with his
girl. Yeah, let's Peyton get in.
Well, you would say bathwater, or if you're Eric Chiafal, you'd say on all fours howling.
Yes, absolutely. Let's go to Aaron Rodgers' favorite subject, psychedelics.
Hmm.
A group of hikers decided to...
Oh, you're going
to
say conspiracy.
Well, no, but you know, there are a few that rabbit holes that I might go down on that next vacation that I have. So a couple of hikers decided they were going to go do a little psychedelics on their next little sojourn into the woods. But they forgot to turn their phones off onto airplane mode, whatever, because they thought their friend had died. No, their friend didn't die. He was just...
You definitely don't want to put your phone, though, in airplane mode on shrooms, I don't think.
Well, like, it prevents you from calling.
I know, but then you forget that you've put it in airplane mode, and now the government has shut down your phone, and I've experimented twice. Yeah. The one thing I was told, be around a group that you trust and stay inside of a room.
Stay in a room?
Yeah, don't be venturing out onto the roads and the streets.
You don't want to go in the woods, huh?
You definitely don't want to go in the woods.
All right. So they go into the woods and they decide that their friend has died. Their friend wasn't dead. Their friend was talking to God. Okay, but they thought their friend was dead. So they called 911. They call 911 and they're like, our friend died. Cops come and they're like, this is what happened. We were tripping and we thought he died, but he didn't die. Obviously, he was just enjoying his happiness on whatever gram amount that he took. I have no idea how much he took.
Now, do they get arrested for admitting this?
No, they didn't get arrested. From what the story did not mention they got arrested. The buddies were taken to an ambulance. They were greeted by the police, but does not appear charged or filed.
Have you ever done them?
We have. Because
you were a Grateful Dead fan.
I was a Grateful Dead fan. I never did. I don't like. I don't like mind altering things. I like body altering things.
Okay.
You know, I have access to them.
Well,
but I've just never.
What a flex!
I know. I've just never gone down that road. That's not for me.
No, I've never touched it and will never touch it because I'm paranoid and have my mind screwed up enough as it is. I have, like generally I get to this state, though, of thinking somebody's dead when I'm half awake. This is one of the reasons Kristen doesn't want us to have another kid is because I will wake up in the middle of the night.
And by the way, the news?
We're not pregnant.
Oh! Is that good or bad?
Yes. I don't know. but no, she one time early on, I will wake up half awake thinking she's choking or the baby's dead or something like that.
Jeez,
Kristen,
Bobby,
Kristen,
wow.
It's just the way I can't help it. It's an anxiety thing. Saying. Kristen woke up when I woke up to Kristen going, oh, because I had my hand in her mouth thinking she was choking in her sleep trying to scoop food out. Oh. And she was like terrified that she was like, what the hell are you doing? Is this like a moment where you've decided to just take me out? I was like, oh, sorry. I thought you were choking.
Pepe, your next purchase on the way?
Dude, I've never bought 5,000 things at one time before, but I think I'm going to have to do it here. This is Sydney Sweeney, man. She wins again. She has a new soap out there with Dr. Squatch that is called Sydney's Bathwater Bliss. She finally did it. You know, the meme goes on, you know, guys, oh, let me just drink your bathwater to whatever hot female there is out there. Well, now they can actually eat it, I guess, because this will be available to purchase next Friday with only 5,000 bars of soap available. And the comment section under this post was the worst of all. But there it is. Sydney Sweeney's bathwater bliss in a bar soap.
And I was like, what is she doing? Like, is this beneath her? What is this company? I remember when who sent us the shaving soap? Dude Wipes.
Dude Wipes.
I was, is this the next Dude Wipes? Like, is Sydney Sweeney stooping down? Where's this commercial? I've never seen it or heard of it, but I found it.
Hello, you dirty little boys. Are you interested in my body? Wash? Well, you can't have it. Because this isn't for boys. It's for men. This is Dr. Squatch Natural Body Wash. With long-lasting natural aromas like wood barrel bourbon, pine tar, coconut castaway, and fresh falls, you'll finally get the attention you deserve. So go to drsquatch.com today and quit being a dirty little boy.
Nice,
what it, RJ.
Nice job, Aiden, getting that on the fan cam, Twitch, and YouTube, but I played that for you, my friend.
Popped a molly. I'm sweating.
I played that just for you. Watch how fast these bars go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. No, that's
water.
This is amazing. This just shows, like, you know, there's money out there. Girl, ladies, if you're struggling to get by, just sell your gym socks. Guys will buy them.
Yeah.
We'll buy them.
OnlyFans, man.
Yes. You don't even have to take your clothes off. Sell your gym socks.
One girl passed gas into a bottle.
Yeah. She sold a lot of them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What the heck, man?
Dude, we're sick. We're weird.
Yeah.
Especially you get into the internet now, you get into the incel community, and then you can sell anything to those fools.
Okay. All right. So, you know, you guys, I'm not a big itinerary person. It's gotten me in trouble plenty of times before where I'll be on an anniversary weekend.
Yeah, I'll be all right. I'm going to make it through.
You going to play this at home?
Yeah. Yep. No.
I'll be on an anniversary weekend and I won't have anything planned. And then I end up spending the entire time in the hotel. I've already got our big thing that we need to do when we go to Super Bowl this year. I already know what it is. We're going to go see the hottest DJ in the Bay Area.
Pauly D?
No, actually, there's several of them. There's six of them, I guess, that at least spoke to the San Francisco Standard about them being the hottest club DJs. Only the clubs that they DJ are at-home parties where adults co-mingle with each other. And these are the tone setters, the gentlemen who play music at these events. And here's how the write-up goes. It says, at a recent party at a home in East Bay, DJ Maximilian had to politely ask a group to stop using his gear for support. Their activity was shaking his equipment. They were so focused on each other that they didn't even realize, he said. It wasn't the first time. These parties he DJs held in mansions, Airbnbs, speakeasies, and warehouses all over the Bay Area rarely come with a proper booth. He says sometimes they give you a folding table or a coffee table, or you grab a couple chairs to put stuff on. He often has to remind people not to use the DJ table for any of their activities. But this is something that they write up in the San Francisco Standard that they say has become so common, like such common work for DJs in the area of just like, hey, will you come DJ our adult
house party
activity?
Oh,
yeah. Our adult
eyes wide shut.
Yes.
Wow.
Will you DJ our eyes wide shut?
I need to hear like what the playlist is here.
So, yeah,
I need
exactly
to hear the mixes.
The password is Fidelio.
So what, first off, what kind of music would you assume is being played at this kind of a setting?
I would assume EDM.
No, you'd be wrong. Wow. I would think so too. I'd be like, all right, these are probably a lot of people, Molly, like you mentioned there, these are probably a lot of people who, you know, are just like looking to feel the vibe a little bit. Well, the vibes to him, he said they need to be a little more toned down, a little more dark. He said he goes with a lot of dark chords a lot of times. Sometimes he'll do just some isolated vocals. He said people aren't wanting upbeat. He said typically the BPM, you're looking for about 120 beats per minute. That's generally what he's looking
you
for.
You could have said
song
anything at that point. I have no idea what you're talking about.
You don't know
about
what 120
do
beats
you
per
have
minute
music
is?
Do you have any music
yeah,
for
well,
this?
They didn't put music
what
in
are
it,
dark chords?
Like you're just talking about generally, it's all instrumental or it's generally vocals and you're doing something a little more droning and just kind of setting like a little bit of a dark mood and things like that. But as my blue screen of death just kicked up on my laptop, I now don't have the article in front of me. So Chop, what do you have?
All right.
No article and no music.
What's that?
No music or no article.
No music.
Give me any art music.
You know, but you could have pulled something. You could have been like, I know what RPMs per minute or whatever the heck these things
are. That's true.
Are,
I am a genius.
Let me introduce you to the dumbest groom ever. The dumbest groom of all time.
Don't talk about Peyton like that.
I know, right?
Oh, come on.
So this is a girl, a woman known as Kylie, and she shared a horrifying story about her wedding. So it was a very short marriage. She said it was 24 hours. We got married, had a beautiful ceremony. Then we do the photos. Then we're on the way to the ceremony. We get to the ceremony, and the groom just disappears. Not only does he disappear, he is gone, what she said was, for months. he did not respond. He did not contact her.
He was shrooming.
They have been dating, yeah, right? They have been dating for 6 years. No issue. She is mystified. She's in her wedding suite on the night of the wedding. After the reception, he never went to the reception. He just disappeared. She canceled her honeymoon. She was embarrassed. Turns out he had a completely other family. But here's the dumb part. He went through the wedding.
Oh.
Mm. So now are they? Did he sign the?
Give
did somebody sign the wedding certificate? Because now he owes her half.
These sort of things, whenever, like, this is the kind of thing that I would think would be very difficult to pull off in this stage. Like, I always assume this kind of thing of just, like...
Well, you're a public figure.
No, but I'm saying this kind of thing I would assume, like, 50 years ago, like, we've talked about it before, Chappelle's line where he's like, you could move 30 minutes away and never see your family again. You just go out for a pack of... He's like, if you're in another county, you never see them again. You could just start your life over moving 30 minutes away. It's very difficult to pull this sort of thing off
now. What part of the world was this?
It's Australia. I don't know what the marriage laws are there. I have no idea.
What's more embarrassing, canceling the wedding the day before or getting divorced the day after?
Ooh. Oh, man.
That's I think it's canceling the day before because, like, to tell everyone all the invites, all the flights that you booked, all the gifts that you got, like, but which one's worse?
Okay, so I'm going to say... Divorce, when I think divorce in the day after, I'm typically thinking of like a shotgun wedding or like just a quick like, oh, Vegas thing. But if it's a whole lead up, you get married and then that's worse to me.
Because I know two people, Chiafalo being one, where the wedding was called off last second.
Yeah, how last second was that? Do we know?
There was money spent, I believe he said. He still hasn't gotten his PlayStation back.
Was it within a week?
I don't think it was that close.
Okay.
But I mean, he said it before. I don't remember. I think it was like... We're getting into the stretch run, though. Like, it was, like, I think final 6 weeks.
Invites were already out then.
Which one, Pepe?
It's got to be before, I think, the canceled one. I mean, you have everyone that's already flying out there. If it's, like, the day before or something like that, you know, you've hyped it up, everything. You've posted the pictures, gone through all the work, and then you just cancel it like that.
Yeah, at least go through with it, maybe.
Yeah.
And then, like, at least let the people think they get the free meal, open bar.
Yeah.
See all their friends. It's like a family reunion.
All right, there it is, the junk drawer. Continuing right here on 105.3 The Fan.
All right, that is embarrassing, whether you'd have to either call off your wedding beforehand or you would have to get divorced the day after. But it's not nearly as embarrassing as not being able to hang with high school kids as an athlete. This is a nutty story. A 24-year-old man in Ohio.
Oh, my God.
Did you see this?
Yes.
So this 24-year-old man in Ohio was posing as a high school student. He forged documents. It's crazy. They found him out. Oh, my gosh, there's a 24-year-old in our high school. Okay, fine, whatever. 21 Jump Street. It's crazy. We get that. But here's the thing. They're burying the lead talking about this guy who pulled the wool over their eyes. This 24-year-old grown man in a 25,000-person northern Ohio town was only good enough to get picked for JV in soccer. This is a junior, because they talk about it. It was terrible. He was even a member of the junior varsity soccer team. It's like, hold on. Not only that, I think they said he was from like Venezuela or something.
Ecuador, Venezuela.
Coming from like a soccer country or a country where that's popular. You're 24 years old. You're 8 years old. Some of these kids don't even have facial hair yet. Peyton still doesn't. And these are like kids who don't. He got JV. And this is not like some Highland Park soccer team in Ohio. I looked it up. This is the 37th best high school soccer team in the state of Ohio, according to Max Preps. They are 15th out of 64 schools in their state division. This is embarrassing.
It's embarrassing.
I would be more embarrassed having it found out that you were only good enough to hang with the JV soccer kids in Ohio.
Absolutely. And now, like, maybe you can make the case that, you know, at 17, you're in better shape than 24. I know at 24, I was drinking beer. You know, you're not drinking beer at 16 necessarily. I mean, some people do, but, you know, a lot of the athletes might not be. I mean, my kid is 6 months away from being 16. I couldn't imagine being 24 and being in as good a shape as they are.
Oh, you fresh out of college, you couldn't have dominated Luka?
Yeah, but like not in a sport like soccer. We got to run 6 miles.
But you were a smoker. That's why. Yeah, you had smoker lungs.
Yes, I was.
All right, it's the Junk Drawer every Friday to give you some laughs heading into the weekend here with Sean and RJ, along with our Cowboys insider Bobby Butt. We got Peyton and Aiden in the back, and we got some ticked off, angry Dallas Stars fans. That's why we're taking your phone calls. Was pulling Jake Ottinger the right move? Should and is Pete DeBoer going to be in trouble? And what does this team need in the offseason? Hit us up right now at 877-881-1053. 877-881-1053. Your Stars calls and texts are next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.